Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Alive and kicking
with Claire McKenna
on News Talk.
Every month or so, we have our Therapy from the Couch series with our resident therapist, Fiona Brennan. If you have a life dilemma that you would like her to look at, you can email anonymously aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. And Fiona joins me on the line. Fiona, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Claire. Happy to be here as always.
And this is quite a good one. As I said before the ad break, empty nest syndrome. I think it's something parents seem to brace themselves for from the maternity ward.
I think so. Yes, definitely, definitely. And it's something I can really relate to, this listener. I can, you know, I'm at a similar stage in life, so I can totally see where they're coming from.
Well, let me read what came to us and we'll take it from there. So, dear Claire and Fiona, my daughter is in fifth year and she started talking about her college plans and she's really excited about it. However, I find that I just can't bring myself to celebrate the prospect of her leaving home. She wants to go to another country and I'm trying to talk her out of it. I'm already feeling this sense of loss and uncertainty about her moving on. Where will I fit into her life then? I don't want there to be a distance between us and I'd like to be happy for her, but I'm also a single mum and I feel the loneliness would be much more evident if she moves out. I mean, there's so much in those 10 sentences, isn't there?
There is. I mean, I think the first thing, Claire, is to acknowledge, you know, that she is a single mum and, you know, that is very significant in terms of the bond that they must have, you know, over all of these years together. So there's a real sense of understanding the loss that she feels in terms of, you know, going from having her there and then this, what seems like such a frightening prospect of her not being in the house anymore, especially as she's been the sole, you know, the sole everything. You know, I'm not a single mother, but I can imagine, well, first of all, I can imagine how hard it is and what an incredible strength and courage it takes. And then also how deep that bond must be between the mother and the daughter. So I think that's the first and most important thing to acknowledge. Which brings me to really a sense of self-compassion for herself in this, in terms of it is very understandable that she feels the way that she does. And, you know, there really needs to be space for her to go through this. It's like what she's really going through is anticipatory grief, which we feel when someone is very ill, for example, and we're worried about that when they might die, if it's going to be soon. And although, of course, thank goodness, this is not the same thing in terms of a death, but it can feel similar in that sense of loss. But perspective is so helpful here in terms of the realization that this loss is more of a perception than a reality, if you like, that it's more of a transformation. And I know that that is helping me because my son is now he's about to do his leaving cert in, God, it seems like days, weeks, very, very soon. And, you know, he is of very much of the mind. He's applied to go to college in France. So he, we hope, is going to be not just moving county, but moving country. And I think that, you know, there is this awareness that helps in terms of how proud a parent can be that they have a child like this daughter. like my son, you know, has that adventurous spirit and has that, you know, strength and faith in themselves that they want to go abroad. And that's not for everyone, or to go to a different county. It's not for everyone, but it is something to recognize as a parent that, you know, that is really a very good sign of you having done a good job, especially for a single mom. I think it's very inspiring.
Yeah. And I mean, I was watching something online about a relatively new mum. She's pregnant and has a toddler. And she was saying, I used to have no fear, but now since I became a mom, I just see danger everywhere. And I went from being somebody that would hop on any roller coaster to somebody that doesn't even like to get into the car for fear that something will happen to me or happen to them. And that must play a part in it, does it? This protective idea that we have. Yeah. So to think of our babies, albeit them adults, out, you know, living somewhere else in the world outside of our protection, that's hard for us to get our heads around, even though that's what we want for them, as you say, for them to be confident and adventurous.
It is. It's really hard, but it's an internal inside job that we really need to work on ourselves, you know, and that's how I would approach this personally and professionally, like with a client presenting in the same way. My whole lens would be looking at, well, what can we do to bolster up that feeling within you? You know, that feeling of fear that's within you. Because what we don't want is to be transferring that to our kids. Of course, we want them to, you know, it's natural, it's normal. And I think you're right, it starts in the maternity ward. You know, a lot of parents will start to feel fears about things they never did before. Like it could be getting on the plane and all of a sudden that feels like, you know, a real threat. And that is our biology. That's the mama bear inside of us that wants to protect. But we've got to be aware of that. And then we've got to look at, well, you know, how useful is this really? You know, what purpose is it serving really? Because unfortunately, what it can do is actually the opposite. So I remember even years ago, like talking to a parent who was so, it was a client years ago, and she was just so concerned about her child who was maybe only 4 or 5. So it was, you know, a young child, but like frightened that he was going to get hurt on the, you know, playground, you know, just a lot of anxiety around his safety. And I asked the question, like, would you like him to be safe or strong? And she immediately said, safe. And I said, well, how's he going to be safe if he's not strong? So we've got to sort of switch it around, if you like. So the more that we build this strength and this, their own ability to navigate the world, the more safe they're going to be, you know? So it's an exercise of trust. It's an exercise of looking deep inside our own selves. What is it in myself that I'm afraid of? Because as parents, we do transfer things. We also transfer our own, you know, I suppose our own childhoods, our own teenage years, what might have gone for us, we're worried might escalate in our own children. If we took risks, then we're worried, you know, that our children will or won't. But essentially, it's this process of really self-discovery. As much as this parent thinks it's about her child leaving home, it's really not. It's much deeper than that. And I think that, you know, the loneliness that she refers to is where I would be very interested in exploring. And it reminds me of a quote that I often use as well with clients, and that is a Carl Jung quote, and he says that loneliness does not come from having no people around us. And I was actually writing about this recently, but from being unable to communicate the things that seem important to us. And this is, Claire, where we really are able to be very open. And it's funny because I was actually writing about this in my Substack, and I actually shared the very thing, you know, about how vulnerable we can feel when we're holding on to things. And this listener has already showed that openness by writing into us. You know, that already shows that there's an awareness there and ability to put words to what she's feeling. But often it's with the people that we love. So for example, it's been able to say to her daughter, you know, this is how I'm feeling. And it's said in a way that isn't, you know, like, I need you to fix this, or it's not said with where the emotion is so high, but it's just that ability to have the courage to be open, you know. And I will say that to my son, I'm going to miss you so much, sweetheart. I love you so much, you know, and, you know, I will express that. And it's showing that love, but it's also giving that freedom, you know, not forever a second to stand in their way, but really to be this support with them all the way. And to know that the distance really, it is physical. It's not an emotional distance. It's not like the love stops. It's not like that relationship is in any way over. It's transforming into something different. And another thing that somebody said that really stuck with me, and that is that you want to, as your children, you know, make that transition, is to create a space that they want to come home to. You know, so you want them to feel like they can't wait to get back to see you. And that is where you're creating a life for yourself. And that's the real challenge here for this listener, is now she's at a stage where it's like, what can she do to really create that connection, first of all, inside herself, and then to look externally and to view it as the opportunity that it is, so that she has so much, you know, joy and sort of different insights and experiences to share with her daughter. And yeah, they can bond in that way, that they're both kind of on a new journey, really.
Because there is so much letting go with parenting. Something that really resonated with me that I saw online recently was somebody who shared a post that said, nobody told me that every summer I was saying goodbye to that child, because by the next summer, they're very different. Because with each year, from, you know, toddler into young child, into adolescent, into teen, you know, really they change every single summer. So it's a constant state of flux. But rather than constantly look back, I try and just embrace what I'm in now. And I'm sure you feel the same. If Luca goes to college in France, yes, there will be a certain grief that he's not there every morning or every evening, and that chapter may be closed for now. But the excitement of you heading off for these weekends in France and maybe exploring the rest of France while visiting him, like, we need to stay focused on that. But so much of our identity does get tied up in being a parent and having this person or people need us in that way. So it can be difficult.
Yeah, it is. Exactly, Claire. And that's an important point, is that it is difficult and we can't bypass that. It's like any grief. We can't jump through it. So, you know, that's why I'm saying a lot of the work is internal. So it's this acknowledgement within yourself. Like, I would cry over this, you know, but I'll kind of go through it in my own way, if you like. So I'm working through it so that I know I have the strength then when that time comes. And it sounds like this is an only child. I don't know, but it sounds like it is as well, I think. And the same for Luca, you know, when you have one, it can feel maybe a bit more intense. So it's, context is always important. That when you look at something, that's why I'm saying, you know, she's a single mom, that's context. We cannot compare. We have to look at everything through the lens of the experience that we have. And really, for this lovely lady, it's so important to create space for herself to go through that process. Mm. There's no way of jumping through it. But acknowledging that there is a heartache, that it is hard, and then that will actually make the path more smooth when it comes. So that's where we get this sort of anticipatory grief comes from. It's quite an intelligent force in many ways that's really helping us. So the shock is not too great when it comes, you know.
Yeah, but that mindset, as you said, is so important. And that's not to take away from the context you mentioned, the challenge, the struggle, the grief that we all, you know, are standing alongside this emailer with. Mm. But when your child goes away to college, wherever that ends up, what are you going to do with your time now that you have a bird that you've helped fly the nest, and, you know, and take this time for you? That would be my advice, and maybe seek support with the grief and the challenging parts. Well, Fiona Brennan, sage advice as always. And I know you were half talking to yourself with your own advice there.
It's like, that's the real thing, you know, it's like you work through these things ourselves at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Fiona Brennan is founder of The Positive Habit and a clinical hypnotherapist. She has a busy online online clinic. For a free sleep time audio, you can go to thepositivehabit.com and you can find her on Instagram, where she often shares her clinical insights. I'm an absolute super fan of your non-sleep deep rest audio. You're in my ears regularly, Fiona. Thank you so, so much as ever for coming on.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.